In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show
on WEEI.
Our Celtics insider Mego is here. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy night before. Are you heading out tonight? I know that was traditionally a big night for you.
I used to be the queen of the night before Thanksgiving. That was the day that I either was really shining or embarrassing my entire family and the friend group that I was with at the bar.
I mean, it's nice
depending
to go back.
Who you ask.
It's always fun to go back, you know, just graduate from college, go back and rekindle an old romance.
We're past that. I've certainly graduated from the go back to the townie bar and rip it up phase. But, might go out for a martini or something.
Yeah, okay. That's the way to do it in your 30s. Excellent. But that night before and your parents were just begging you not to be hungover the next morning.
Like, and my best friend's 21st birthday is right around Thanksgiving. Oh. So there was one year when there were stories among the parents.
Yeah. You didn't make it to the table the next day?
It's a wild one.
It was a tough year.
All right, are we talking Celtics first or are we talking controversial list of the top 10 football films of all time?
Well, why don't we start with Celtics, and then we'll get to the list, which Keith said was trash.
Uh-huh.
And my own husband looked at me and said, this is highly questionable. The men don't like the list.
I wouldn't go so far as to say trash. There are, I feel like, some glaring omissions, yes. But it could be a generational thing.
Well, why don't we start there, then? Because, what is it? Celtics, great. Porzingis back.
Yeah.
16 points, 2 blocks. Yep. Looks awesome.
Right. I mean, Porzingis, honestly, and he is saying that he feels better than he did end of season. Right?
It's like his version of Tommy John. He comes back stronger, hopefully.
Uh-huh.
They could win out. They could lose one game for the rest of the calendar year. And then basically you see OKC on January 5th. You see the Warriors again at the end of January, and you're just always weird against the Warriors, so that's a hard game to predict. But otherwise,
they're great with them or without them.
Yeah. They're just cruising, right. They're incredible,
and they're not going to overwork him now moving forward.
Oh,
they're
no
going to save him.
I'm sure he'll be on a minutes restriction, like NBA Cup, in contention or not. I think that they'll have him on a pretty strict regimen of how they're returning him, so I wouldn't even worry about that.
Like Greg said yesterday, it's like having a yacht with the Celtics and then adding a helicopter paddle.
An extra speedboat or two or three or whatever. You're so good. All right, on to your list because I think the issue here may have been that you ranked them.
You're going to put out a list and not rank?
Well, no, I think you had to, but I think that might be Rich's issue. But,
yeah, we are Marshall at number 7 is blasphemy.
Well, let's go. Let's share with everybody.
Too low or too high?
Too low.
I can't watch that movie again. That's what I wrote in it. Here's the thing. I make an argument for every movie that I rank, and I explain why it's where it is on the list. I'm not just throwing out numbers.
Yeah, no.
And part of my issue with We Are Marshall is again, the same friends who I would go out with Thanksgiving Eve made so much fun of me for years because basically when the movie started, I started crying.
That means it's a good one.
Cried through the entire movie, and I thought, I'm never watching this movie again. This movie's too tough.
You have Waterboy at number 10.
That's too low.
Awesome.
That's too low for
Way too low. That's my top five, but I love the pick.
Okay, Wiggy, in talking to Patriots players, NFL players love Waterboy.
Yes.
They're like, that is the football movie.
Yeah, that is a great movie. So I'm cool with it. I know your list is your ranking, whatever, but I like that it's on the list.
Replacements at number 9.
I can deal with that.
It's a fun movie to watch, but and Keanu is passable as a quarterback, but it's just full of cliches, you know?
Curtis, I think, earlier had an issue with Silver Linings Playbook because it's not a football
movie. Yeah, not a football movie. Yeah.
Wait, terrible movie?
Talk about a depressing movie.
Oh, I think it's uplifting.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like two troubled people fighting each other.
But it's not a football movie. It should not be on the list.
Okay.
Because it's a drama based around a drama with a little bit of a sport element in it. It's not a football movie.
So the reason I put it on the list is I do think it is the most accurate representation that I've ever seen of East Coast NFL fandom. Between Robert De Niro and Bradley Cooper and the whole Eagles subplot and the degenerate gambling and the superstitions of you have to sit in this chair and you walked in with this jacket on and so now you can't leave. You have to stay the rest of this game. Like, all of that is so authentic to me. And I think it's a bigger piece of the movie than people remember.
Well, if you wanted to go that route, the Philly thing, you should have put Invincible there.
No.
Yeah, Invincible's
Silver Linings is way better than Invincible.
No, it's not. Invincible is, first of all, it's based on a true story.
Yes. Vince Papale.
It's a great film.
It's based on a true story. I mean, there's a lot of ones that on there that are, quote, based on a true story.
Yeah, I mean,
Rudy is, and I love that pick, even though it's Notre Dame, not a big Notre Dame fan.
Yeah, Rudy's great.
Best part about that, quick little tidbit there, Greg.
Yes.
It was filmed at halftime of Notre Dame's beatdown of BC in 1992, which was the prequel of the 93 greatest upset in BC history, 41-39.
I don't mind Rudy being at number 2 where you have it. I have the same issue that Curtis has with Silver Linings Playbook as I have with Jerry Maguire being
Greg,
number 6 on the list. That's not
favorite,
a football film.
I'm fine with Jerry Maguire.
It's
not
Jerry
on the list.
I'm saying.
Jerry Maguire is a love story.
Yes.
It's not a football film.
Jerry Maguire is my favorite movie of all time.
It is?
Oh, absolutely.
Why? Because the little kid is so cute?
No.
So why do you have it higher?
Well, it has you had me at hello.
I consider it a football movie because half of it is about Rod Tidwell, and the Rod Tidwell character is just amazing. And I think a lot of the stuff that they get around the business side of football, aside from like that they're negotiating a contract in season, like doesn't make any sense. But the stuff that happens around the stadium, going to commercials, you don't want to shoot, like all of that stuff, I think they do a great job characterizing, especially in the 90s, like how it actually was and trying to get from one level to the next of being a star and what goes into how people perceive you as a player.
For that type of movie where it's more like romance, I would have put Draft Day.
Draft Day.
What? Jerry Maguire's way better than Draft Day.
Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
These are not football movies. You should have.
Well, I'm just saying that, but if we're going down the road where football is an aspect.
There's plenty of football scenes in Jerry Maguire.
What is wrong with you?
Have you ever seen Draft Day?
You should have replaced.
No.
It's very good.
One time somebody was trying to waterboard me and I had to watch it.
I think they show that in Guantanamo.
It's like, what?
Mago, you should have.
That movie blows.
It's very good.
You should have replaced it with Necessary Roughness.
Okay.
With Sinbad.
Well, she does have
Scott Bakula.
I give her credit when it comes to the generation thing. You have The Longest Yard.
Yes.
Great
which
movie.
Is probably, like you would agree,
great
Wiggy,
movie.
The best football in a football movie because they got like 6 or 7 former football players.
Yep.
Yeah.
Either at the collegiate or NFL level.
And
plus Burt Reynolds, who was a college football player as quarterback.
Great movie. Ray Nitschke at the linebacker.
Not to correct you, Coach, but isn't it Unnecessary Roughness?
What did I say? Did I
you
say?
Said necessary.
Oh, sorry. Unnecessary roughness.
Whatever. It's not on the list.
Yeah. Yes. But that's a great one. A bunch of old heads go back to college and still have eligibility left.
Yeah. I hate to ask. Yeah. Blindside.
Blindside, Courtney, like, I remember, I saw it in theaters, sobbed the entire time.
Yeah, so good.
And then I went back and watched it, like, a year and a half ago, and I was like, This is kind of bad. Oh, this is kind of a bad movie.
Disagree.
Like, I went back and I went, it was a lot more Disney-fied than I remembered it being. Yeah. And I was like,
that is a great point, Mago. Especially the boy SJ when I watched that again.
Oh, awful.
So bad.
So bad. They're like singing Good Vibrations in the car and stuff. And I'm like, what is this? This is bad.
Wiggy and I were talking about The Program.
Oh, The Program. But I don't know.
That's Pete's pick. I've actually never seen that
See
one.
See that?
That's a great film. Oh. And it's obviously, I'm going to say this. I don't know how you don't have Brian's song on the list. It is, okay. it is the single greatest tear-jerking football story, true life, real football story told in a cinematic form ever. And how Brian's song is not on the list is beyond me.
I think you'll appreciate the explanation.
Sketch. It's sketch.
Brian's song is the writer. You know when bands go on the road and they put a writer in, and it's like, I gotta have green M&Ms in the dressing room, and that's how you know if they read the writer or not.
Yes.
That's Brian's song.
Okay.
So right. when so, people are all in so, the comments and they're so, like, where's Brian's song? I'm like, thank you for reading the list.
Okay, all right. So you did that on purpose.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Some of the lists may have been manipulated to start conversation.
I mean, I think that's probably an old head thing. Like,
but she does have the longest yacht on there, which is 1974-5.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, and Brian's song is what? Billy Dee Williams and Peter.
No, it's James Caan.
James Caan. In the 70s. So, but The Program, is it like a 90s movie? And that was like one. You have to check that out.
Putting Friday Night Lights.
You're right. I'm wrong. It's necessary roughness. Oh, okay. It's not unnecessary roughness.
So, yeah,
And what about, did you give any consideration to Varsity Blues?
No.
Why?
Varsity Blues I enjoy it, but it's such a goofy movie. We were mocking it on the school bus when it came out in the 90s. We're like, I don't want your knife. Like, come on, guys.
I rap 34 dive. I got a kooky one for you.
By the way, did you bring up Landman?
Yes. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good.
Yep.
Allie Larder, who is most well known
for the bikini,
the whipped cream bikini, plays the ex-wife very well.
She has aged
in Landman.
Very nicely.
Yeah, she has aged.
She has aged very nicely.
She's gorgeous.
Yes. Your Friday Night Lights movie being number one makes me believe that you are a big Friday Night Lights movie fan. So do you put that above the TV show?
I just think they're really different. It's
so
apples
different,
to
but
oranges.
One is
That's
way better.
That's the biggest joke.
Yeah,
the whole
that
thing.
Was. Yeah.
No disrespect.
Wait, you don't like the movie Friday Night Lights?
I hate it.
I watched the series
a
little bit.
You only like the feel good movies.
No, I know, because I love Friday Night Lights, the TV show, and I think the movie just doesn't even hold even close to the TV show.
Well, but the movie is based on the book, which is based on a real story of the football team, and I just think the way that, from a journalistic perspective, the writer who went down there and spent a year with that team and then transformed it into a movie that honestly is, like, really hard to watch at times.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
To be fair, I read the book. I watched the television series a little bit. I don't even think I saw the film, so I probably can't. It doesn't seem like it's
but
top.
I love the TV
It doesn't seem like number one. Is Minka Kelly in the movie?
No.
Okay, forget it then.
I saw the movie.
If Minka Kelly's not in the movie,
but
then
Connie Britton in both.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But it should not be number one.
I gotta ask Wiggy.
It shouldn't be one on the list. No, it could be.
Where do you land on Any Given Sunday?
Any Given Sunday is top three.
Really?
Yeah, Any Given Sunday, because for me, I look at the Any Given Sunday, it was a little bit, overboard, but the characters, the LT character, the Jamie Foxx, the LL. I was telling Greg that Pacino used to come and watch Bill Parcells when I was with the Jets to kind of get some inspiration. So it's one of those movies where it has kind of everything. It has enough football in it for you to be like, this is a football movie. So that's why I say I would probably put it somewhere in the top five. I seen Friday Night Lights. I wouldn't have a top five too high. And if you want a kooky movie that is a woman empowerment movie from the 80s, Greg and I was talking about this, could have been on the list, Wildcats with Goldie Hawn.
Wildcats?
Yes.
I like Goldie Hawn.
Yes. where she goes into a high school in, what, New York or something?
And as long as we're talking about decades past, Wiggy, from our childhood, glaring omission with Gus. You left. Huh?
Gus?
Yeah,
never heard of it.
You never watched Gus?
What the hell is Gus?
Gus is the dramatic story of the field goal kicking donkey. That was a very, very popular film.
Wow. This is like the original Air Bud?
Yes, far be long before Air Bud. Wiggy.
I don't think it's a
Disney classic.
If I seen it,
who hasn't seen Gus?
If I seen it, it was so long ago. If you would have said, because what's his name? Don Knotts is in it. Yes. What's the one where he's the talking fish?
Mr. Limpet. Isn't that the one that he's Don Knotts is the fish? I think
that's the one I seen. Yes. It was from that era. So
Mr. Limpet is your nickname at Echelon.
But all right.
There's a lot of cocaine in the 80s.
Anything with Don Knotts in it, I tell you, you can't go wrong.
Yes, I gotta tell you. Gus, I think there might have been a Gus, too. All right, well, listen, I appreciate the fact that you put a lot of effort into
this.
Yeah, and, I had fun with it.
You can read what Mego writes at weei.com, and I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
enjoy all the food. Are you a turkey or ham person? I can't remember. Do we ask that? Are you? Wiggy's a big ham.
I would love to see a ham
at
Thanksgiving, but it's always been turkey. It's always turkey. And I'm grateful for everybody else preparing the food. So I'll just show up and eat what is served.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, that's Mego, our Celtics insider on a Celtics Wednesday. And we got to get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Shaw's. The Bruins got shut out by the Canucks. 2-0 was the final with one of Vancouver's goals. The game winner coming from Jake DeBrusk. He did get a nice tribute video before this one, and Jeremy Swayman was in goal. He had 13 saves in the loss. To the 13 shots on goal for the Canucks, the Bees had 33. Jabril Peppers returned to Patriots practice yesterday, declining to comment on what's been going on. No confirmation on when he could see game action. And to help you prepare for Turkey Day games tomorrow, Bears-Lions is at 12:30, Giants-Cowboys at 4:30, and Dolphins-Packers will be 8:20. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is Sushi Madness. Pick up select varieties for $6 each. That's right, select varieties of sushi are $6 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
Speaking of film, as we just were, I believe on Friday for something to do on the Jersey Shore, I'm going to venture out to the theater and go and see Denzel Washington.
Right.
And what?
Keith said, not that good.
Rich said it wasn't that good.
He said it was
Gladiator 2 was not
good. I've heard a few different people say that it was not that good.
Really?
Really?
Check it out. Let me know.
Denzel is, he's on the list in Mego's list with Remember the Titans, number 5.
Guy has never really made a bad movie.
No,
go see Wicked.
It's Gladiator 2. Like, how could it be that bad?
Yeah. Well, I want to hear your feedback on it on Monday, because Rich said it was okay, but I want to get your feedback on it.
I will say this, Greg, you're kind of fraudulent.
What do you mean?
You mock the lack of creativity all the time about why we have all these sequels.
True.
And you're defensive of Gladiator 2 and ripping people who say it may not be good.
But it's Denzel.
Yeah.
Like, I give him a pass, Curtis.
That's true.
He can do anything he wants, but I know I understand that, Curtis.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I appreciate your care and your understanding. It is 42 degrees, sunny skies, afternoon.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Jones and Keith coming up at 10, and we can get out of here and get ready for Thanksgiving. And I hope you all have an extraordinary day tomorrow, whether you're going to football or whether you're just doing family stuff and getting the food ready. And great weekend. Of course, we will be back on Monday at Gillette Stadium with Gerard Mayo and with Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday. This is Steve in the car. Hello, Steve. Steve? Okay.
Gosh.
I believe Steve is... Oh, wait. Steve, you there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
What's up, Steve?
Sorry. So, am I on?
Yeah.
So, what I don't understand is, if we have the best organization on the planet, or in your eyes, if you're Kraft, that's, you have the best organization, you'd want the best person managing it. And Mayo hasn't proven himself to be a great... He was supposed to be the best at defense, and the defense isn't that strong this year. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been a great organizer or having people follow him, and he doesn't have the best people around him. So at this point, I would want someone more like a Harbaugh or Vrabel. Someone that's going to come in, command respect, and be organized and do the best job.
But, Steve, I would say, do you think the Rams knew they had the best coach when they hired McVay? Do you think that the Lions knew that they had the best coach when they hired Dan Campbell? Do you think the Texans knew they had the best guy when they hired D'Amico Ryans?
No, but at the same time, the strength that we have is the quarterback, and he's an offense.
Right. The Texans' strength is their quarterback.
We don't have a strong anything on the offense.
Right.
I mean, I would think if you want to be more like Dallas, then and have Jerry Jones be the dominant person there, then that's what you're looking at being the Patriots the way they are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, listen, Wiggy has an argument, and that is that this is the way it goes when it comes to all rookie coaches in the NFL. I think that, and that's a valid point. I think it also is a valid point that with some of the rookie coaches that Curtis is referencing, I think most of them had at least been coordinators before being elevated to head coach.
Well, Gerard Mayo was a coordinator. I mean, he didn't call the plays, but he was.
He was not the defensive coordinator on the football team. He was not.
Yeah, but Dan Campbell wasn't the coordinator.
Okay, well then, great.
I just was saying that
was one point I was making that might be an accurate point. Forgive me.
I think Sean McVay wasn't a coordinator. He was. I'm sorry.
Yeah, with the Washington Redskins at
the
time.
Right.
I would say this: like, there are a lot of things that he's done wrong, but I think if you look at teams that weren't very good under a first-year head coach, you could probably find very similar things for all these teams. My thing is how can you just be like, all right, he needs to go? Because then what we become is we become the Carolina Panthers with their owner, the Tepper guy there, where it's just like, this guy doesn't do well, get him out of there, get a new guy in. He doesn't do well in a year, get him out of there, get a new guy in. We don't know what he would be in year number two.
And remember when we were all disagreeing with Joe Mazzulla and wanted him out of here after his first year? If we had gotten our way with that, we probably wouldn't have the success that we've seen with the team since. And we saw such a big jump from Joe Mazzulla from year one to year two. Yes, the talent is way better when it comes to a Celtics roster instead of a Patriots roster, but you just got to hope and pray that they're being honest when they say this offseason they're really willing to give Gerard Mayo the tools to make it a better program.
But it is interesting to see how quick people will turn on you, because I would love to find some of these stories and articles about how so many people wanted Mayo, where they're like, great Kraft took him away from Carolina. Mayo's the best coach. He should be the next. He's the up-and-coming.
To be fair, Wiggs, when they hired him, it wasn't
No, I'm saying before they hired him. Like, remember,
for a defensive coaching
role. No. But remember the stories? Because you and I even argued about this. Remember I was like Steve Belichick and you were like Mayo?
Right.
Remember the stories that they were like, well, I'm glad he didn't do the interview because...
Oh, yeah. People were celebrating that he didn't leave to take an opportunity elsewhere to stay on the coaching staff.
Right, because they knew or they felt like he was going to be the next great head coach.
Right, he was the mentor in waiting.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty incredible accomplishment
mm-hmm.
if Robert Kraft, 5 years ago, after just winning a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick as your head coach, was able to identify a guy on your coaching staff who was going to be a great head coach in the NFL. So much so that you didn't interview mm-hmm. anybody else.
Right.
And that you were willing to create dysfunction in your organization, theoretically, by anointing him, promising him that he was going to be the next head coach.
Right.
I mean, that is going to be, that is certainly Hall of Fame worthy.
Mm-hmm.
If that is what turns out to be true.
That's a little bit questionable. Like, that part I'll agree with you.
Okay. That, like, we're making a little progress.
Like,
here.
That I'll agree with you on anybody. Like, all right, so Bill gives him an opportunity to be a coach. So Mayo goes from the business world to come in coaching. And then what is that? 3 years into his coaching, because, you know, when he said this, well, Mayo's only been in the league coaching like 8 years. So 3 years in, he knows as like an inside linebackers coach, like, all right, this is the guy. Hey, that's a little bit like, all right, maybe you like some of the things you do. I think it's more because you play for the organization and you see him in the building a lot.
Mike Vrabel played for the organization.
But remember,
also, he
didn't like Vrabel because remember what Vrabel said about
Patriot Place.
So that
he liked him enough to have him up in his box.
Yeah, but not to hire him.
Commenting on the how the offense, mm-hmm. How Mac Jones was, and how the offense.
But
was.
Remember, it was too late by then. He had already leaked out. This Mayo's the guy.
Well, didn't leak it out. They sent it out in a letter to everybody.
Right. But we kind of knew about it, right?
But don't you think you really just have to be lucky and good as a coach? Like, all these different guys that were able to turn it around, if Mo Lewis hits Bledsoe in week 13 instead of week 2, maybe Bill's gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's his second chance. He didn't get the job done in Cleveland, and he was 5-13 here. So if this team can finally draft and bring in receivers that have hands, then maybe Mayo's the guy. I will say that the thing that concerns me, and it's like 2/3 of the respondents don't want Mayo back, which is shocking to me,
mm-hmm.
In the poll at The Greg Hill Show on X.
What percentage?
2/3. I think it's 60. Let me just get to it. So it's
not shocking to me because it's a lot of people are talking about
70% say they do not want him back.
Yeah,
now.
I believe that.
The way in which Jerod Mayo has handled himself and the issues in communication, whether it is at training camp asked if the offensive line is the reason why May is not starting, saying no. Then on our show, when May's in there, he said, yeah, we had to wait for the offensive line to get there. The comments about soft, not soft, that whole thing is concerning. But it could also be year one, he's learning on the job. And, you know, that'll be up to be decided later. But the on-the-field stuff is not nearly as concerning to me.
And wait,
little bit of breaking news here.
Okay.
And at first glance, it appears not to be good for the Red Sox. But maybe in a way it will be. It'll end up being good. It seems like Blake Snell is off the table.
Yeah.
The Dodgers. Where do they get the money, Curtis?
Well, yeah.
Five years, $182 million.
They find it out there.
But maybe that means they don't have the money for Juan Soto.
Yeah,
that's what
they
I would.
They can't get Juan Soto right. After that.
That's why I think it's a good thing, because now the more money that they're spending means, like, all right, and there were reports that the Red Sox did up their offer.
To Juan Soto, yeah.
To Juan Soto. So when
Carlos Baerga was all over social media last night basically celebrating that Juan Soto was going to be a Met.
Yeah,
like,
Blake Snell.
He said he had inside info.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, this was late last night. I think that the Red Sox I like that they don't have Blake Snell. I don't think Blake Snell's worth that amount of money, but get ready to be disappointed. It's going to be because John Heyman immediately, when this story broke, said, oh, I'm hearing the Red Sox are upping their offer on Max Fried and these guys. So it's like their puppet is out there telling everybody that they're all in.
Yeah.
But his commercial he put out was a lot of red and blue Red Sox colors floating all over social media, Juan Soto, whatever, for that Celsius water drink there.
He's wearing a lot of dark blue and then a little bit of red accents.
Yeah, so I tell you, if the
we can dream.
We can dream. You can always dream.
Greg's a dreamer.
This is Mark from Foxborough. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, show. Happy Thanksgiving. First off, safe travels if you're traveling. Wiggy, can't believe you didn't have this as number one on your football movie list, The Program.
Brought it up with her. Wiggy did. Yeah. Wiggy loves that movie.
Yeah.
Loves that movie.
Oh, Place at the Table, steroids, addiction, money to play. I mean, it's got everything. It's one of the best of all time.
It is.
Yeah, that's such it a... Is. And I would think, like, at first I thought maybe it was when it came out, but then once I saw the original Longest Shot, I was like, all right, this is a movie. Like, this is the movie. And it brought, like, college football to another level. They filmed that stadium is South Carolina Stadium, which I played in before, the Gamecocks. But you know what I was going to say, Greg? Damn it. It was a great thing on Mayo, too.
Oh, I bet it was going to be great.
No.
Do you want to... We could take a break and try to see if we can bring it back.
Got to rattle the brain.
What was the last thing you were thinking about?
Oftentimes,
my late mother, Susan Hill, would suggest that if you forgot what you were about to say, it was a lie.
It was a lie?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a tale as old as time, that if you forget what you're about to say, it was...
I feel like you wouldn't forget a lie, because a lie is something you'd be over and over.
It's hard to tell the same lie a bunch of times, so maybe that's why, that's it. All right, well, we'll see if Riggy
Bobby.
We'll see if Riggy can remember when we come back.
WEEI. You're waking up with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Man, today flew by.
It's
the day before a holiday, which doesn't usually fly by. Like, that usually drags on that day. But there's Jones and Kiefer coming up, and there's a lot for them to talk about.
Hit the road, you could listen to WEEI Afternoon Show.
Of course, I will be listening my whole entire way to North Carolina when I am not spinning tunes what did I say?
You're going to New Jersey, gosh.
To New Jersey. I'll be listening all the way to the Jersey Shore when I'm not spinning tunes for the kids.
Well, the drive will feel like you're going to North Carolina.
And I just want to say this quickly, Greg. We just did a quick video that Ken expertly directed, but we should say it here. Thank you to everybody for making this show as successful as it is. It is so awesome. It's the way people react, interact when we're out in public, the kind words, the burgeoning Twitch audience and YouTube where everybody loves everything. But in all sincerity, it is a privilege to do this.
Yeah.
With you guys. I love you all deeply.
It's been an extraordinary journey.
Grateful for this audience and everything else.
Yeah. I love you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the journey's just beginning.
It is.
That's the way I always look at it.
For me, it is. Yes, it's a 7-hour journey. Well, maybe 8 or 9. Mm. Maybe
what are you going to do for all that time?
With a couple ungrateful children and
I have a book on
Reese's
tape.
Girlfriend. Book on tape.
That's a
big... I don't
big...
think I can do that. I think I have to spin the tunes.
Green Eggs and Ham?
Maybe I'll make them listen to Alice's Restaurant, the Thanksgiving tradition. That's a 14 or 15 minute banger, Curtis.
Please don't.
That we used to play in the 1970s and the 1980s.
All right.
I saw that the woman who was the subject of that song by Arlo Guthrie just passed away this week. Alice.
I have never even heard of it, so this is all...
How have you never heard of Alice's Restaurant? Is that WBS?
Is that the same one as Alice in Chains?
No, is that the actual TV show?
No. You're thinking of...
Alice in Wonderland?
You're thinking of Alice and Flo, and they worked at... And
Alice Place?
You're thinking of Mel's Diner.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of that.
Mel? That was a television series in the 70s, yes. Maggie, not a song. This is a song about... it was a Thanksgiving song. It was kind of a protest song in the 1970s, and it was a Thanksgiving staple for many, many years.
What did you protest in the 70s?
I was not, Curtis, I was barely alive in the 70s. Oh. Like, stop trying to pin me as some kind of an elderly gentleman. I'm not.
Okay.
I am, I'm not even 60 yet. But yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you for everything that you have done to make this show a success, and for being here when we need you, and we got a lot coming next year, a lot of exciting stuff coming next year. So a couple snow shows, a bunch of road shows, maybe some new road show locations, our annual trip down to spring training, and Red Sox will have signed Juan Soto,
yes,
and will have traded, worked the deal for Garrett Crochet or whomever is available, Curtis.
Monday morning at Gillette Stadium, what is more likely? We come back after a Patriots win, or we return to a new big-ticket Red Sox free agent signing?
Big-ticket Red Sox free agent signing.
You think so? They did re-up their offer. Like, they went back and re-upped their offer.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Juan Soto demanding 15 years? Is that too long for you?
I say ask for the moon and then see how close you get to it.
Well, he's only
what if you have to do that? Do you?
I don't care. If I'm John Henry, I don't mean this personally, but 15 years from now, I mean, who cares?
Like, right. That's like, what the Dodgers are doing. They're just like stacking the credit card bills up, and they're going to play it. They're going to pay him, they're buying everything they want for Christmas, and they're going to pay later. Like, it's
and I just don't understand the fan reaction. I understand if you run the team. But why the hell do I care about 15 years?
And he's only 26, so that means he'd be 41.
42.
Yeah, you could put him at a
day.
DH at 38, 30. I mean, wasn't Big Poppy like, you know, I mean, he was a DH his whole career, but wasn't he still pretty productive when he was?
I mean, I think it's more likely that you have a scenario where, like you had with Manny Ramirez, your guy, where he's not playing for you anymore and you're still paying him less. But I don't. Who cares?
Yeah,
do you even own the team at that time? Like, do you think the Dodgers are going to be owned by the same owner in 10 years when they have to, when they're finally paying out on, you know, whoever you pick when it comes to that payroll?
Probably not, especially if they've owned them for a long period of time already, because that's such a, I mean, unless they have the owners have that, like, family and it that wants to keep it in, kind of like the Buss family from the Lakers, or like, oh, we want to just keep, because that thing is a gold mine. I mean, the Dodgers and the Red Sox would be an absolute gold mine in 10 years if you were to sell them.
Yeah.
So maybe John Henry would do that.
Hard for the Red Sox to tell their fans that the Dodgers approach is not working.
Right. And how hard is it going to be if the Yankees are the ones that end up getting Juan Soto?
Gross.
Like if the Dodgers are disqualified because they're paying Blake Snell $182 million, then that leaves the Mets and the Yankees.
But the Yankees got a lot of money
Do you think Juan Soto wants to play in Toronto? Does anybody want to play in Toronto?
No. But the Yankees got a lot of money out there too. So I believe it comes down to you and the Mets when you look at the actual, like, some of the money that they have amongst players. Because they have over $300 million in Aaron Judge. Then they just signed Garrett Cole to a bunch of money. I think that if you pay, you can get them. And if you get them, you're going to change. If they don't get them, it's going to be a miserable look for them after everything that they're saying to us now. Nobody's going to buy it.
Just Juan Soto? I mean, if they're able to add Crochet and
Pete Alonso? Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
They're able to go out and get a couple legit big price free agents.
I'm good.
Okay.
I think if they do that, I'm good. If you miss out on Juan Soto and you then go out and you still add big ticket free agents, I think that's all Red Sox fans are looking at.
Changes the narrative for them.
Yeah, even if they miss, oh, that's cool. We missed on Juan Soto, but we got, you know, whether it was Guerrero. I know you have to trade from a Pete Alonso or whatever the high-priced ticket free agent is. Yeah. I think people would be like, all right, at least they're actually saying, doing what they're saying.
Okay. Well, we got to go.
Safe drive.
Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. We are back, as Curtis mentioned, on Monday with a Patriots Monday and maybe, just maybe, some Red Sox news. We can all give thanks on Monday, I guess.
And Ken and
appreciate the screwball, Greg.
Oh, yes. We will thank Screwball for hooking Wiggy up. That's his new favorite go-to whiskey.
So. And we can all be thankful for a special Saturday holiday edition of Ken and Curtis, each remotely.
Oh.
9 to 11 or 9 to noon.
Okay, so you'll be doing the show from Florida.
I will be.
Ken will be doing the show from Pennsylvania or
That's
Canada?
That's correct. Pennsylvania.
Didn't Ken promise he was leaving the country after the election?
Well, one can hope.
Okay.
And just a quick note, Maya and James are going to host the final segment together. So that'll be a big ratings winner.
Safe flight, Curtis.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy Florida.
Have a great
good luck
flight.
Tomorrow, Courtney.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with preparing the meal and sides and all of that. Wiggy, good luck out at UMass with the boys. Tell them I say hello.
Will do.
And I will leave you with one of the great all-time songs of the 1970s, a little bit of Alice's Restaurant for Thanksgiving on the way out. Thank you for your patronage.